There is a really lovely image of reality in the Buddhist tradition, the diamond web of Indra. Imagine a giant cosmic web, and at each intersection there is a pure, multifaceted diamond. Each diamond reflects all of the others, and so poetically speaking, we could say that each diamond contains all of the others. I first heard about Indra's diamond net in a Dharma talk by a Zen teacher in New York State. At the time, there had just been a lot of coverage of holography in the popular press, and Daito Roshi, who himself was a photographer, was thrilled. See, part of what makes holography, holographic images, so cool is the way that the information is recorded on the plate. If you take a regular photographic plate and cut it in half and shine a light through it, you'll have half of the image. But if you take a holographic plate, cut it in half, shine a laser through it, you will see the entire picture. If you cut that half in half and shine a laser through it, you'll see the entire picture. Keep cutting it up as much as you want, as small as you like. The image will be degraded the smaller the plate gets, but it will still be the entire picture. Because every part of a holographic plate contains all of the information needed to reproduce the entire picture and not just its own little piece. You see, Daito Roshi said, it's the diamond web of Indra. He loved it when modern science confirmed Buddhist teachings. Well, last week I mentioned the Buddhist concept of dependent co-origination, the idea that this is because that is. The Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh often illustrates this profound teaching with a chocolate chip cookie. When you take a bite of a chocolate chip cookie, you're not just eating chocolate chip cookie. And that's because a cookie is made out of flour, sugar, water, milk, butter, eggs. And the cookie depends on these non-cookie elements for its existence. But when you take that bite of cookie, you're not just eating flour, sugar, water, milk, butter, eggs, because that flour, for instance, is wheat. And wheat needs soil, sun, and rain. That wheat is made of, depends on non-wheat elements. And to turn that wheat into that flour requires farmers who needed parents and teachers and friends and food and a house to live in. And there need to be machines, which in turn need manufacturers and designers and fuel, which, you see, you can say that all of these things are in that chocolate chip cookie that a lot of us are now hoping will be in the social hall when this is done. If you look really deeply into that chocolate chip cookie, Nhat Hanh would say, you can see that it depends on the entire universe for its existence. That in a sense, the entire universe is in that cookie. Dependent co-origination. This is because that is. Each thing contains all other things. Again, to quote Nhat Hanh, all things inter are. Last week I was talking about how this reality of our fundamental interconnectedness, our fundamental interdependence with everything, should compel us to work for justice. Our liberation, as the Aboriginal Australian activist Lila Watson put it, is bound up with the liberation of everyone else and everything else. None of us is free when anyone, anywhere is oppressed. None of us is healthy when our planet is dying. None of us is safe when life itself is being threatened in 1,001 ways. But it's not just things that enter are. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, that you wouldn't regret anything that ever has happened in your life because it's only through the coming together of everything that has ever happened in your life that you've arrived at this moment? All those things that have happened are interconnected too. And every one of them is necessary. This moment depends on every single one of those other moments. There's a movie that came out in 1998 that I thought was pretty cool, Sliding Doors. It stars Gwyneth Paltrow, and if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. And don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it with what I'm about to say. The movie starts with Paltrow's character being fired from her job. She leaves her office, takes the elevator down to the first floor, and then catches the subway home. And then, well, you'll have to watch the rest of the movie to find out what happens then. But what makes the movie really interesting is what happens after that. See, suddenly the scene changes and we're back to the one we started with, Paltrow's character getting fired from the job. This time, though, as she makes her way to the elevator, she drops her earring and has to stop to pick it up. So she misses her train, getting there just as the sliding doors close in front of her. And this one little change changes everything. And so the rest of the movie cuts back and forth between these two realities, following these two stories, the one that follows up on her catching the train and the one that follows on her missing it. One little change changes everything. Because it's not just things that are interconnected. Moments are. Experiences are. Thoughts and feelings are. My Viking ancestors apparently didn't have the same threefold sense of time that we do, past, present, and future. Actually, from your point of view, past, present, and future. Instead, as I understand it, they had only two. That which has been, which included everything from the beginning of time up until this moment, and that which will be, which included everything from this moment until the end of time. Can you see the difference that that makes? Not three distinct phases, but two overlapping ones. This moment we're in right now, bridging everything that ever was with everything that ever will be. It's all connected. So often when something hard happens in the world or in our lives, we wonder why. Why did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen to me, to them? We often anguish over that why. It's natural. It's understandable. We want an answer. The answer. We want to know the cause, the explanation, the reason, the way to make sense of things. But the truth is that there is no thing we can point to, no thing that caused whatever it is we're wrestling with. It happened, whatever it is, because of everything else that happened before. It's all interconnected. Just as no person is an island unto themselves, no event is an island existing in a vacuum, to mix my metaphors. So does this mean that what happens is fated to happen? Is this an argument for a philosophy of strict determinism? Am I saying that there are no choices, that there is no free will, that everything we do has been predetermined by everything that's gone before? Well, that'd be a problem. Because free will is necessary for any concept of morality or justice, because if we can't choose, our actions can't be judged. That would be a problem, because if everything that happens is a necessary result of everything that has come before, there can be no hope for change. This question of free will versus determinism is explored in the movie and the earlier, better book, A Clockwork Orange. It's also explored in the article that I found in my research that was titled, "The Wave Structure of Matter Explains Limited Free Will in a Necessarily Connected Finite Spherical Universe Within an Infinite Space." I'll include the link when I publish this. But let me put it simply enough that I can understand it. The existence of wheat does not require me to make a chocolate chip cookie. But I cannot understand the existence of a chocolate chip cookie unless I consider the existence of wheat. So it is with the events of our lives and events in the world. There is nothing that is forcing us to make any particular choice or take any particular action, but we can't understand our actions or our choices or those of others without considering what came before. If we're really interested in understanding, rather than just having an opinion, we need to look more deeply than at the immediately preceding event, the seemingly precipitating action. We can only really make sense of things, and especially those things that seem to make no sense, by considering the person or event within the context of all of that which has been. It was in a social studies class in junior high, two terms that have just dated me, when I first heard this analogy. Suppose someone throws a lighted match into a room filled with dynamite, the teacher asked. Who or what is to blame for the explosion? Well, some of us said that it would be the person who threw the match. Others of us, who thought we were really clever, said it was the match itself. Well, what about the dynamite, she asked. Or the person who thought it was a good idea to fill a whole room with the stuff. Or the people or the events that led that person to think that they should or that they needed to fill a room full of dynamite. What about the people that made the dynamite in the first place, for that matter, she asked. Or the people who led that match thrower to think it was acceptable to go around throwing matches willy and nilly. You see, and this is me talking again, not Mrs. Shapiro, it's hard to identify the cause of the explosion. Because there are so many interconnected, interdependent causes. This happened because that happened. So if you really want to understand the explosion, you need to be at least willing to, open to, looking at all of it. If you stop with the match and the person who threw it, you'll have only the most superficial of understandings. And if there had been any doubt about this, what we heard on Thursday night in Cleveland demonstrated that a superficial analysis of things can be dangerous. Very dangerous. Too simplistic an understanding of people or events can lead to overly simplistic reactions to them. And overly simplistic is almost never right. It may be satisfying to feel that we understand what's going on, This person does what they do because they're a narcissistic megalomaniac. And these people do what they do because they're ignorant and frightened. And these people do what they do because it gives them power. And these people have a victim mentality, and this person's actions are fueled by one of those isms we oppose. Or this person broke my heart because they are heartless. This person betrayed my trust because they're vindictive. Or this person lied to me because they are just untrustworthy. Or this other person did some other thing to me because of some other easy to identify single root cause. But a superficial analysis of things is almost always wrong. At least it's incomplete. Too simplistic an understanding of people or events on the global stage, under the national spotlight, or in our own lives, almost always leads to overly simplistic reactions, and overly simplistic is rarely the right approach. But we want answers. We want clarity. We want to know, and let's be honest about it, we want to know pretty quickly just what to do. It's so easy, and it's so human, and it's so gratifying to understand the way things are and happen the way they do. We think it makes us know what to do in response. Yet as Unitarian Universalists, we should resist this temptation. Our affirmation of the importance of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning ought to compel us to resist the easy answer, to dig below the surface for a deeper understanding, even when, you know, we really know what's going on, right? This is, I think, especially important, I'd even say essential, when it's people or events with which we disagree. And it becomes increasingly important the more vehemently we disagree. Let's face it, many people come to churches and temples and synagogues and mosques in order to have their current understanding of things confirmed, to have our already formed assumptions affirmed. Yet our UU faith charges us to keep our minds open, to wonder, to ask that next question. What about the people who made that dynamite? Our faith calls on us to remember and actively remind one another that the surface picture is rarely the full picture. And acting or reacting without the most full picture we can have is often, and I almost wrote always, but I knew I would be challenged on such a flat-out declarative statement. Acting or reacting without the most full picture we can have is often a mistake. Think on this in the days and the weeks ahead. Each of us ought to be making a practice of asking ourselves, where have I stopped with the person and the match? Where have I looked no further than the room full of dynamite? If we really want to make things better, make things different in this world, and Lord knows things need to be a whole lot different in this world, or if we only want to make a difference in the way we experience our own lives, we need to be willing to look deeply, to look so deeply that we can see those deep interconnections, so that we can see the whole cosmos in that cookie. or whatever it is we're looking at. That is our charge. That is our charge.